A Friday night edition of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship finds the Trophy Husbands on after week three and in building a fantastic year for himself. And When I Move, You Move, Justin McCord here to talk week four schedule, matchups, and what this means for you in fantasy play. Guys, I don't want to talk anything about games that have already taken place last week or last night. I want to go forward. I want to first congratulate Trophy Husband Robbie Fetcher, who Fetch, give it to me like you broke it down to me. There's only one NFL team left with a 3-0 record. You seem to have several teams in the KFFSC.
I have five 3-0 teams.
That's impressive, Fetch. That is impressive. And one of them perhaps continued its winning ways this week, as you had to have a very satisfying victory over the duo that sits in number one after week three, FPI. You got a slugfest, a 96.5 win, Justin. It was 96.5-96. You and FPI.
Sounds like a Thursday night game.
Yeah, it was one Thursday night game. They play players from one Thursday night game. Fetch, congratulations. Justin, I did not have time to look at your productivity, but I'm sure it's mirrors well. Fetch.
Records do not matter to Justin.
Yeah, no, I'm all on points.
You're all on points. You're a points guy. Biggest scoring team in Kentucky for you this past weekend, Justin?
I'd have to look. It's probably around 160.
Well, 160 is a solid number. Let's talk about a solid number of hours of sleep that we're going to get Saturday night, because we're going to be up late night Saturday night with college football and the CFL. At least Fetch and I will. The girls don't let him sleep anyway. Kickoff, 9:30 a.m. from London. Vikings versus Saints. Vikings installed as the favorite in this game. Fetch, the Red Rifle will be under center with no Michael Thomas. Talk to me first of all. Let's start with Viking players. Does Jefferson use this game to get back on track as one of the elite wide receivers in fantasy football? And, you know, Fetch, I tell you, don't live in fear, but I don't like the idea of Mr. Cook's shoulder. Commentary about what's going on in Minnesota.
First of all, yes, I think Jefferson has a big week. Marcus Lattimore is a shutdown corner, but he handles big physical guys like Mike Evans much better than he handles shifty guys like Jefferson. So I think this is a really good place for Justin Jefferson to get back that week one mojo. Dalvin Cook has done this before. They have harnessed him up, and he has had good games. He's used to doing this. I would not be scared. Other than the fact that the Saints have a fairly good defense.
Mm-hmm. Fairly good, and that's how the Saints are going to have to win this game. Justin, is this the game that Alvin Kamara returns to productivity? And are you hesitant with the Red Rifle under quarterback to start the outstanding rookie from Ohio State, Chris Olave?
I don't know what your roster looks like, but if you have him, I imagine you're starting him. He should be a target monster in this game. There's not a lot of other great options with Landry banged up and Michael Thomas out. They're not really using the tight ends so far. So, yeah, I think it's Olave and Kamara. And if Kamara doesn't get it done this week, at least as far as opportunity goes, I don't know when he'd ever get it done.
Fetch, you know, when we draft up in Cincinnati, there's always a lot of support previously for the Red Rifle. In Dallas, he struggled as the backup quarterback. Now he gets another shot with the New Orleans Saints. Can he come out and do what Brissett is doing, what Bridgewater did on Thursday night, and what Cooper Rush has accomplished as a younger player in Dallas, and give this team a chance to win and make fantasy values consistent somewhat with what they would be with Jameis Winston?
I don't think so. A different type of quarterback than Jameis. Jameis is not afraid to fit that ball in there. He's got that big, strong arm. That's why Olave does so well with Jameis. I would be concerned also about the possible usage of Taysom Hill in the Wildcat formation and different things. All the flex X type players seem to be diminished when Taysom Hill gets into that position and takes a lot of snaps, because he runs the ball when he does that.
Justin, who you see winning this game?
I think it's the Vikings. We've seen these England games, and they've traditionally been pretty ugly. You know, defense travels. So now we've got a banged up offense for New Orleans, a banged up offense for Minnesota. We got a backup quarterback who, unlike Cooper Rush and Teddy Bridgewater, has not had as many snaps in this offense. I don't know what sort of rapport he has with Olave or the other receivers. So, yeah, I see the Vikings winning this one by probably 6 to 9 points.
Seahawks at the Lions, Fetch, is another team that some very, very interesting stories. If you go to the Seahawks, you find a very accurate Geno Smith. It hasn't meant a lot in fantasy football yet, but it might against the Lions, who have traditionally been a doormat defensively to the passing games, and in this week are going to have to play without Swift and without Amon-Ra St. Brown. Your thoughts about Seahawks to be in business with beyond Metcalf, and I'd like you to illuminate a little bit the listeners on your opinion about the two running backs with the Seahawks.
First of all, we used to have this big debate about Diggs versus Thielen. And we have a very similar situation now with Metcalf and Lockett. And Lockett really dropped down draft boards this year. But Lockett has had more success this year.
And people just forget about him to their own demise.
Yes, and I think this is another great game for him. I think when you're designing a defense, you worry about stopping Metcalf first, which this Detroit cornerback has shut down some really good players instead of slowing down Justin Jefferson last week. So I think this could be a good game for Tyler Lockett. The running back situation, it's like so many others. It's hit and miss when we do these A and B guys. I still would be in business with Rashard Penny. And this is a place we have so many games that have hit the under total. This is one that's going to go over. All the Detroit games are going over. So you want to get guys in before that touchdown upside.
You know, it's a situation where I hope that running backs, as the Seattle backfield, I hope we get a better story and a better look at it before bye week start, because we're going to need to lean on one, if not both, of those guys from time to time, drafters that have them. Justin, you know, your Detroit Lions picked up a lot of fans this year through their Hard Knocks series, and it's a lot of players that you love to root for. With the emergence of Jared Goff, is no longer available in free agency as a quarterback. He's having significant year. Now he loses his two main weapons, and I'm interested in what you think about who is going to step up in this offense. I avoided in FFPC play, except for one team, TJ Hockenson, and I'm glad that I did. And I look at Hockenson every week and have to make a decision on getting him in the lineup. It used to be a tight end that we thought had upside in this offense. Where do you see the upside with Detroit this weekend? Do you have a sleeper that might, as Fetch says, we're going to go over, if you have a Detroit sleeper that you think might be worthwhile getting in the
lineup? Yeah, I mean, there are three good options, I think. And I think Hockenson could have a good game here. Mm-hmm. And the way tight end looks, if you have Hockenson, you're probably starting him.
Yeah.
You know, Jamal Williams, if you've got him, he's probably a good flex play or in your RB2 spot, depending on how strong you are there. And then DJ Chark at the wide receiver position is probably going to receive the bulk of the targets left over from St. Brown. And hey, look, I don't see the Seahawks pulling away from anybody. I don't think this is a game that's going to get out of hand. It's got a decent total, but I don't know that it's going to get to it. And I think if you have those guys, those are the guys you consider playing.
There's two players on this offense named Reynolds, one Josh and one Craig. Josh is the wide receiver. Am I right, Fetch? Josh,
you definitely are. And I would stay away from Craig, but I would play Josh Reynolds. He seems to have a good connection with Goff and can step in and have a good game.
And more importantly, he's got the trust of that coach. Let's move on to the Jets and Steelers. Now, here's a game that is very intriguing to me, because everyone wants to know what's going to happen with Elijah Moore. Elijah Moore, as J.R. Fenton likes to say, has been a single-digit midget for the entire year. And now Wilson comes back, and I think everyone's excited about Wilson coming back, but maybe Wilson shouldn't be. This team, the Jets have given up a great number of sacks, a lot of pressures from the opposing defense. Pittsburgh, without their mainstay Watt, but might get right with their pass rush against the Jets. I want to know, Justin, let's start with you, how you're handling Jet receivers between the wide receiver Wilson, between the wide receiver DJ Moore. I know that in some leagues you have Conklin rostered. How do you see this game going against the Steelers?
Look, I'm on the Elijah Moore train.
Okay.
All right. I have very little Garrett Wilson. I don't know that I trust him in this game. I know everyone's excited about that big week he put up, but we've already seen the rapport that Elijah Moore had last year with Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson is a little more mobile than Joe Flacco. Maybe not, but, you know,
coming off his knee injury. A lot more mobile.
But, yeah, so maybe we don't see him taking as many sacks. Maybe we see some plays extended. You know, Tyler Conklin had also built up a good connection with him during training camp when Uzama was out with an injury. So those are all two guys that I think you could definitely start. Now, I don't know what your roster looks like, but yeah, if you have Garrett Wilson, maybe you get him in. I'm very strong at wide receiver everywhere.
You're going to stay with Elijah Moore, even though you're strong at wide receiver everywhere. You're going to stay with Elijah Moore in your lineup.
Yeah, he's
despite not getting double digits for you anytime this
year. A flex player for me, and he's in some of my lineups, and he's in a bench in others.
Okay. All right. Well, you'll let us know next week how it works out. We'll talk about it. You know, I'm not against it, but I think without bye weeks, I think you probably got better options. I've got a discussion coming up with a gentleman that I'm managing a main event FFPC team with, and we're going to have to make that decision. And who knows, man? I tell you one thing I do know, Robbie Fetcher, Steelers are going to the bench for me, unless it's Deontay Johnson or unless it's Harris. Those guys are in the game. You know how much I love Claypool. You know how much I love Friar-Proof. Even against the Jets, I'm tired of watching this offense that does not take advantage of the middle of the field. And I do believe that this offensive coordinator is ruining the opportunity of the Steelers to be competitive. Do you agree with me?
I would not put all the blame on the offensive coordinator. I would put some of the blame squarely on the quarterback. He just is not an accurate guy in an accurate passing league. As far as plays, I mean, Justin has brought up how weak the tight end position is. Mm-hmm. So unless you've got a great counterpart to Freiermuth, I'm probably playing him just for the red zone, hoping that he gets it in, because the Jets are going to give up points. We know. But one thing the Jets do is they give up points.
Well, you know, Freiermuth is a situation of where in that last game, we said we weren't going to talk too much about the past, but I think it may become the recent present. We're in a situation where he had zero going into that Thursday night game until the very last couple of minutes. What I don't agree with in this offense is that they never use the middle of the field. They're trying to accomplish the same things and run the same offense that they did with Roethlisberger last year. And I thought it was because the quarterback was somewhat compromised in his skill set, and that was the pass he could make. But it seems like it's a very, very stubborn offensive coordinator there in Pittsburgh, and I'm disappointed to see it. You know, if you want to see something disappointing, you look at your Chicago Bears. They traveled to the New York Giants this week, which provided us a very entertaining game against the Dallas Cowboys. The Bears somehow, with this strange offense that has 297 air yards, has managed to get a weather-aided 2-1 record. Bears go to Giants. Giants are hurting. They were compromised offensively to begin the season. They've had injuries. Now Sterling Shepard is gone. It's a thrill to watch Barkley play. Where was Barkley being drafted? What round in the KFFSC?
Either at the late first or early second.
You know,
there's going to be a couple boards where you saw him slip past that. But
I think that's a compliment to the savvy aspect of our drafters, that they were not going to turn away from this very talented player. And I think he's matched up Fetch with a coach that we can appreciate, because they keep giving him the ball. You know, he had 39 yards rushing the other night, about a 3 yard average until he wheeled off a big game. They just kept giving him the ball. Now I'm not sure they have a whole lot of other opportunities. Fetch, did you pick up any other giant players to make up for the opportunities that might be forthcoming in the Giants offense?
We're all hoping Kadarius Toney, Wendell Robinson will be back soon.
But well, yeah, found out today. Going to be back this weekend.
We found out it wouldn't be this weekend. So you're looking at Daniel Bellinger at this weak tight end position, maybe giving you something. And Richie James is a guy that has led them in receiving, and I think will continue to do that. Our friend Jeff Joaquin picked him up many times in both FFPC and KFFSC. So I think they're your options. But this is, we talk about the unders. This is an under game. I think it may be under the completions for the Bears this year. Do you know what that number is, Farrell? Three games, 23 completions for Justin.
Oh, it's impossible. They're turning football back. Justin, Darnell Mooney was on my do not draft list because of the quarterback. I got into some heated conversations with people that were certain that Mooney was going to catch 90 balls this year. But the Bears, with the injury to Montgomery, Khalil Herbert moved into the offense and was very effective. If you had Herbert rostered, would he be in your lineup this weekend?
Quite possibly. I have him in a couple places, and I'm trying to get him in the lineup. With a flex, it's pretty easy unless you got a strong option there. But this is what the Bears are going to want to do. They're going to want to run the ball and keep the ball away from the Giants. And that's what the Giants are going to want to do. They're going to want to run the ball and keep it away from the Bears. So I think Barkley and I think Herbert are the two starts from this game.
Yeah.
And, you know, Richie James has done well, but I hope that your roster is not in that spot.
No, if you're playing Richie James, you're in a hell of a situation.
There's a lot of injury at wide receiver.
Yeah, but you're you know what? You've got another free agency run. Go find you somebody. Because Richie James, I don't think, is going to produce.
7 for 65.
Yeah, I don't think so. The Fetch, let's talk Titans-Colts. You can lead us in talking to Colts. Last week's show, Justin told us that Jonathan Taylor is going to be okay. And I'm still waiting for him to be okay. And I'm still waiting for the Colts team to get it together. And they have one of the toughest teams historically for them to play in the Tennessee Titans coming to town. Anything that you saw in the Colts besides the terrific touchdown red zone presence of the tight end this past week, anything that you really saw that you want to bring the listeners up to date on?
Are you talking to me?
You're the Colts expert, well, and your name is Fetch.
I'm not a Colts expert.
Yes, you are. Now, don't try to backpedal on your Colts.
But what I would say about this, the biggest thing we need to know about this game is the Colts defense is playing well, and the Titans' offensive line has diminished over the last couple of years. And in the past, they have dominated the Colts on that offensive line. Right. That will not happen anymore. Colts will win. But again, it's not a huge fantasy day for other people except Pittman. And I do think Jonathan Taylor does have that breakout game.
Justin McCord, who has more yards? Jonathan Taylor, who you are very, very high on, and Derrick Henry, who you have nowhere.
I mean, for Tennessee to win this game, Henry needs to have more yards than Jonathan Taylor, but I don't know that it's going to happen. I think it's going to be Taylor, but I think it's more like a 60-40 to me.
Henry caught 5 passes last week, Fetch. He's going to catch balls against the Colts.
Yeah, they have to find different ways to get him the ball in space because that line's not giving him push.
Let me tell you, when he gets rolling, he gets rolling. And he looked healthy to me. That's all I'm going to say. You know, play all your regular Colts and Titans. Is there anyone on either side of the ball that you see emerging in this game? And, you know, I'm going to give you another chance. Jelani Woods, do you think you think that's just an aberration as his participation last week with 2 touchdown receptions?
3 targets, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a tight end rotation.
Well, he shouldn't be, don't you think?
But there's a lot of players that we don't think should be in rotation.
Well, wait a minute. I think the Indianapolis Colts found their answer in week 3. Surely your coaches are smart enough to know that you've got to get this player on the field and, you know, create the target mismatches that he gives.
They still trust Mo Alley Cox.
They still trust
the guy. I can't think of his name. Grant.
Granson.
Granson.
Yeah. Okay.
And this causes a split of time.
If you believe it,
three targets. I cannot base a start on a guy that gets 3 targets.
Yeah. Well, I just you got to look at the film, and I think you looked at the film. But you know, I'll tell all the listeners, I watch a lot of film. But, you know, Justin McCord has 3 kids. Robbie Fetcher has 3 kids. And, Fetch, where have you been watching the games lately?
The basement one,
actually. I thought you've been watching them on your telephone while you're out of softball practice and those kind of things. I'm trying to give you a Father of the Year rep here. And, you know, it's and Justin will soon be in the pumpkin patch with his group as fall holidays approach. But, hey, we move on. Chargers need a holiday, and they might get one with an improving Houston Texans team that's improving enough, but just not enough to get any wins. Tonight, guys, on the High Stakes Fantasy Hour with Balky, we talked a lot about what has to be done to get the Chargers to improve, and you talk about offensive lines. It's a problem with some of the injuries the Chargers had, but, you know, I think it's less of a problem because the guys that got hurt weren't playing very well. And they've got some – they're going to have to do what Coach Lombardi did with his offense there in New Orleans is bring more bodies along the offensive line to try to create some holes for Austin Ekeler. Do they get right, Fetch? Because I know you probably watched the Texans a great deal. Do they get right against the Houston Texans defense with Austin Ekeler? And they do not have Keenan Allen for this game, which, you know, you talk about a rushing game, you lose one of the better blockers of a wide receiver when Keenan Allen's not on the field. Fetch, what do you say? Does Ekeler get right? Is Herbert able to stay upright?
I think Ekeler gets right mainly because they find unique ways to get him the ball this week. They've got to protect Herbert. And if the offensive line cannot do that, you do that through screen short passes.
Mm.
And Ekeler is key in that.
Well, they've already figured out a way to do that, but down and distance sort of has some control in that too. I don't know if there's any uncovered passing plays that make Ekeler shine. Eckler's got to start carrying the ball. He had 5 yards rushing last week on 5 carries. For him to be fantasy relevant as a first-round pick that he was.
And that's why it's tough if you don't have a workload guy. And again, rotations. They are getting Sony Michel touches. They are going to get Josh Kelly touches. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's just what these teams are doing. They're trying to keep their star players healthy so that they will have a playoff run at the end of the year.
I think you're off track here because I don't think the running game can produce a first down based on how bad the offense is.
You still have to continue to run the football, though.
Well, you can't run it on third and ten when you can't block anymore.
That's when you want to run it, especially if you're ahead, because you do not want those ribs of Justin Herbert to take any more shots.
They got to keep the guy upright. So I'm going to return to the offensive line, and we'll have to have this conversation later. But I don't think you've watched as much Chargers as I wish you had. Justin, what do you got to tell us about the Texans? I'm interested in 2 players. Nico Collins, who showed some promise last year, will he return to showing promise this year? And where did one of Fetch's favorites go last week in Brandon Cooks?
I mean, I hope Nico Collins just takes a step forward, but we've kind of seen this before in other Texas number 2 wide receivers. And I remember Kiki Coutte being the big name on offseason, and now he's with Fetch's Colts and not doing anything there either. I mean, look, the Texans are winless.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't look like they're going to get their first win this week. Anything's possible. Their running back Pierce, the rookie, he's starting to kind of come on. Had a good game the other week.
He did have a good game.
And I think if they realize that they can trust him with the ball, maybe they can open up some of the passing lanes. I'm still pretty confident in Cooks. Yeah, but I don't know that Nico Collins is going to deliver on what everybody who drafted him hoped he would do. I didn't get very much Nico Collins this year, but every time I had to scratch his name off the list, I was a little disappointed that he went ahead of where I was hoping I could get him at. And right now it's looking like maybe I shouldn't have been as disappointed with that.
There's a player, Fetch, I'll go back to you with your Chargers, because you said that you've got to get the ball out of Herbert's hands quickly. What do you think Joshua Palmer brings to the team this week?
He just brings some consistency. I have him on a lot of teams. I have Keenan Allen, and it's been a nice plug and play. He has not had that big week, but he's getting me 10 to 15 points. And he's trusted for Herbert. And so much coverage is going towards Mike Williams, who seemingly still catches a touchdown almost every week, even very contested. I think he's caught more contested balls than any player.
Yeah, he's the number one player in the league at that.
I think, you know, we should talk about Gerald Everett. If we can talk about getting the ball out of Herbert's hands quickly, I think that's a great option this week.
And Donald Parham, I think, comes back to the lineup. He plays into the idea of getting more big bodies that can block. So we'll see what the Chargers' answer is this week. We've got some compelling games coming up. Let's squeeze in one more before the break, guys. And I want to do it very, very quickly, and we might not be giving it service. The Cleveland Browns travel to the Atlanta Falcons. Now, we know what we're going to do with the Browns. We're going to start the two running backs, but I want to focus on Amari Cooper. Back-to-back 100-yard games for the first time in several years for Amari Cooper. What he's doing with the quarterback. I think where Amari Cooper was going, and I would like you guys to tell me where it was in the KFFSC. Was it fifth or sixth round?
It started in the fourth round with our very early draft.
Uh-huh.
And then once we heard more news about the Deshaun Watson stuff, he started to fall to the fifth and sixth rounds.
How many times did you guys pull the trigger?
I have him on three teams.
Good job, Fetch. Justin?
At least four or five.
I'm impressed with you guys, and I wish you had shared more of that information before I had it.
Well, there's some guys that are just – we did talk about this a bit, though. We talked that Jacoby Brissett was not hamburger meat.
Yeah.
That he had played well in good systems before, and that Amari Cooper was a very talented receiver who can make up for the shortcomings of some throws by a quarter, and that he was just too good to that he had outperformed his ADP, I think, in three straight years.
I've been overly impressed. Let's take a look at the Falcons. Cordarrelle Patterson is uniquely and mysteriously rewriting the position in his career of what you would remember him by and what his promise showed. Who would have thought that at this age he would be a contributing running back? It's a bit of a mystery as to when Pitts is going to start stringing together games that justifies his draft position. But I want to focus on one Falcon that I was on early. When he went to the Falcons, I got off of him a little bit, and that's Drake London. What have you guys done with Drake London? Fetch, let's start with you, because I think you were pretty high on this player. Has he been a starter for you on many of your multiple teams, especially the ones we drafted early back at the Super Bowl party?
I have him on a couple teams, and he is playing for me. He is consistent. He's their number one, surprisingly, even over Pitts. We do have to be concerned about Cordarrelle's knee, but I think you play Cordarrelle no matter what, because he has been so good in the red zone when they are in tight games.
Yes, and this could be a kind of game that's a little closer than what we suspect. The Falcons have the home game, and the Browns, who don't look past anybody, but you know what? It's a different environment to get down there and get in that dome and play. So we'll just have to see how this game comes.
David Njoku, you got to talk about Njoku and all those targets.
We love Njoku. We love him more in the FFPC, but hey, well, you know what? He's doing his thing, and it's impressive. Justin's right from the aspect that the tight ends are tough this year to get in business with. So consequently, Njoku might be your savior if you went out and drafted Albert O. Now, thank you for the second half of our show. Thank you, Fetch. Thank you, Justin McCord, for being here, 2011 champion. And Fetch, who you didn't hear earlier in the show, 5 teams at 3-0 so far this season. So, Fetch, you must be playing all the right Washington Commanders. You know, it's been very interesting to see that Carson Wentz has played. It's been the tale of two halves in most games. It certainly was this past week, but he never got up back off the mat. We talk a lot about teams struggling on the offensive line. No one appears to struggle worse than Washington. They've given up more sacks than anyone in the league, I do believe. So, Washington Commanders, Fetch, I know that despite their struggles, that you're starting a lot of players from them. How much Antonio Gibson you got?
I have Antonio about three places.
What are you doing with Antonio?
I've been playing just because I've had injuries and different things. He's been okay, but he's about the only four-skin. What am I supposed to call them?
You're the saying Commanders, the team that's called the Washington
But you
Commanders.
Never call them. You're confusing me.
I'm sorry. My good friend, the late, great general manager, Jim Finks, always referred to them as the Foreskins. And I always thought that was an entertaining nickname for the team. But I go back to the team a long, long way. You know, J.R. Fenton, who likes to tell everyone that he is his first game that he ever went to in the NFL was a Super Bowl. He was with me when the Washingtons and the Denvers played in San Diego. And I go back a long, long way with this team. So I love having a team do well in the nation's capital. I love what's happening with this team, with the coaching staff. As well, I know he's one of your favorite coaches. Tell us how many more Commanders you have to put on the field besides Gibson. But Gibson was the interesting one.
Yeah, you can play McLaurin, you can play Dotson. Obviously, Justin's going to play Curtis Samuel because he has him all over the place. I just am not in business with the Commanders.
Then you might not have been the right guy to answer that question. Justin, I like all the Commanders players, but I do not like Terry McLaurin.
It'd be a rough – I mean, look, if you have Terry McLaurin, you took him in the third round probably, third or fourth round, you're probably going to start him. He's done just enough.
Yeah.
You know, to merit that spot in your lineup. And sometimes it's salvaged by a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
This is a stingy Dallas defense.
Oh, yes.
And I think, you know, that this is one of those games where, yeah, McLaurin might be able to you know, he's going to be held in check, and that will open things up for Samuel. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Dotson, although, you know, I think it's Samuel's game.
Here's something I want to say to counter Fetch. I think in the backfield – that it's a J.D. McKissic game. Could I be right?
Could if they get behind, the game script calls it. I definitely think you could be right.
I think game script calls it just because of what Justin is saying and what I said leading in. This offensive line is struggling, and these Dallas Cowboys will bring the heat. I think there's a lot of dump-off passes to Samuel and to McKissic in this game.
I think McKissic's like a 12-point guy.
Yeah.
Well, and that might be what you need in your running back two spot, or maybe your flex spot. Although if you have a receiver that has higher upside, like an Elijah Moore, like we talked about earlier, yeah, who has struggled to hit that 12 points,
right,
but has a much higher ceiling, I think that's who you go with.
Dallas Cowboys have a receiver with a very high ceiling. One, Mr. C.D. Lamb, a fantastic one-handed catch for a touchdown.
We don't get extra points for those, though.
Yeah, but it was the kind of catch that says when this team's in the red zone, this guy can produce a touchdown.
What is the drop over the middle in the first half?
You know, it's fantastic. And one of my buddies said, you know, if I dropped a pass like that, I don't think I would be smiling so much. Well, this guy's face, he can't escape a smile. And that no one felt worse about it than he does. You got something, you know, Fetch, you got something against the CeeDee Lamb, because you're going to have a hard time going through a wide receiver core in the NFL that doesn't drop a touchdown.
Tyler Lockett has not dropped a
end zone
target in his NFL career.
That's impressive. Well, this one wasn't an end zone target. It was in the middle of the field, although I think he would have taken it for a touchdown. What are you trying to say about CeeDee Lamb or any other Cowboy that you want to talk about?
CeeDee Lamb's great. I do have CeeDee rostered. I mean, of course, you got to have some shares. I mean, he's a great player. The interesting thing we're going to have in this Cowboys offense now with Michael Gallup coming back, hopefully, is what's going to happen to Noah Brown, a guy that has shown both the Cowboys and fantasy guys he is a capable wide receiver.
Boy, I don't think anything should happen to him other than he should stay on the field. And to me, he looks like a better player than Gallup. I got to say it. I've always appreciated Gallup, but I thought he was a product of the system somewhat, his productivity. The Brown is a guy that, to me, looks like he can make more plays and is more dynamic with the ball after he catches it.
And he may be their best blocker downfield. And with Tony Pollard making big plays, he's a guy you want on the field.
You know, you said that about Pollard making big plays. Zeke got most of the action at the running back position, but Pollard certainly had one of his better games. Do you think they just continue to cancel themselves out as having what Justin refers to as the high ceiling in fantasy football? Or do you think that Ezekiel Elliott is so good in the red zone that that's where his points will come from?
I don't think Zeke – we talked about this earlier in the year. You kind of had to take him in the fourth round. I don't have – I think I have one share of him, and it's because I just don't think he has a high ceiling. He's going to get you some 12, 13-point games, but his days of 20-point games are just they're in the past.
Justin, you doing much with Zeke?
I don't have any Ezekiel Elliott. And it's not so much that I was so down on him, as that's just not how my roster build goes. I don't take a lot of running backs in the fourth round. But I don't see it as canceling out Tony Pollard, because you paid so much less for Pollard.
No, I'm saying that their production on the field, they cancel each other out for having a high fantasy score. Pollard, you paid less for, but he again becomes a number two running back with some flash, with some upside. What's interesting so far is Zeke has always been a pass-catching contributor to the Cowboys. He has not been this year, and I suspected last week's game, with Dalton Schultz not being available, that they would utilize Zeke in the passing game more. I think they have to keep him in just to block.
Yeah, I think
that's
they have
key
to.
Key aspect of what
we see
doing.
Pollard on the field sometimes at the same time, sometimes split
out. I like that.
I think this week you can start Zeke, you can start Pollard, you're going to start CeeDee Lamb. I don't think you start Noah Brown or Michael Gallup.
What do you do with Dalton Schultz? I'd like to hear both of you.
If he's active, you start.
Okay, just purely active. Sorry, Fetch, any questions that you don't want to see Schultz in your lineup?
I have capable backups for him. I have him twice, and I'm going with his backups for two reasons.
Who are the backups?
Possible re-injury. And two, I really like this rookie Hendershot.
Another Hoosier.
But it's not just a – he made a bonehead play by going out of bounds. But he can do the same things as him. I mean, as Schultz, but he's a little bit bigger.
Fetch, he's not going to see the field.
He should just like Noah Brown. He should.
Dr. Jerry Jones said that he thinks Schultz is going to play. Jerry Jones is the Dallas Cowboys team physician.
Hendershot didn't necessarily. I'm talking to the listeners. All 20 of them, and they want to hear something important to say for somebody that watched the football game. Hendershot may not see the field because of two holding penalties and two missed blocks that were absolutely atrocious. He did catch the ball, and I can't blame him for going out of bounds. Anything else you guys want to say about this game? Because we spent a lot of time on it, but there's a lot of fantasy intrigue. And I got to ask this. Carson Wentz. You've seen what this Cowboy defense brings. Carson Wentz stays on your bench, even if you've got issues perhaps with Tua. even if you well, that's next week. Even if you've got issues, perhaps with any other injured quarterback, that we're not going to have the best of this week.
He's Carson. On my bench. He's on my bench. I do not want to play quarterbacks against this.
If you have two quarterbacks, he is probably on your bench.
He's, you know, I think Fetch is still holding a bit of a grudge from when Carson was a Indianapolis Colt. Hey, here's a team that both have quarterbacks going in the right direction: the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Philadelphia Eagles. Jaguars laid 38 points on the Los Angeles Chargers last week. The Eagles are always in scoring in 30 points situations. Always, they got two prolific wide receivers and a quarterback that can do a lot of things with his feet. Guys, from the Jaguars standpoint, let me ask you a quick question. Who's the only running back in the NFL to score a touchdown rushing in each of the first three games of the season?
Not Travis Etienne.
It's got to be James Robinson.
Yeah. And how many James Robinsons do you guys have?
I have one James Robinson.
One James Robinson. Fetch.
One James Robinson.
Why did you guys not do more James Robinson?
The Achilles injury.
Why? And we apparently draft... was not a problem, Justin.
Well, this would be the first time.
Well, it I don't think it is the first time, no. But it's certainly
no, it is. Time. It is the first time.
It is the first time what?
That a player has come back and performed this well at a running back position after an Achilles injury.
I disagree with that.
Well, name an example who would be someone else.
We got to go back to history. We would have to go back way to history.
Yeah, when they were,
we drafted together.
Where they were curing Achilles injuries leeches.
But you got to remember, James Robinson happened late in the year. And our most recent information was how Cam Akers looked after his Achilles injury.
And you guys, so in other words, you guys were living in fear on the James Robinson.
No, yes. We draft early in the KFFS.
You were living in fear with the James fear. Robinson. And he was available at what round? That's what I want to talk
11th,
about.
12th.
And you don't think you could take a risk on James Robinson?
Sure. Hindsight's 2020.
And let's not forget, I mean, Travis Etienne is playing well.
Travis Etienne rushed for 45 yards last week.
He is also leading all running backs for yards per reception.
I love what Etienne is doing.
And I think this is a great week for
him. A 1-2 punch. Do you think he out fantasy points James Robinson?
If there's a week to do it, it might be this one because of how prolific the Eagles offense has been and what Jacksonville will have to do to keep up.
And I want Justin Cox to know from the champion. I am starting Trevor Lawrence every week because he was my first draft quarterback up in Cincinnati. And
which
yes,
is exactly how you planned it, right?
That's right.
Did you catch a little hell on that?
Oh, I did. Oh, from everybody.
I don't think you caught any. I don't think you caught any from me, but I'll tell you what people caught some hell. And, you know, some people you just cannot talk off of their decisions. Devonta Smith throws up a goose egg. And people benched him. What would you think about that, Fetch?
You got to trust people. Just like a Bengals team that started the season 0-2. We have slow starts. You have bad matchups early in the year sometime. If a guy is talented, you believed in him enough to draft him in the top 78 rounds, you have to play him. You've got to trust that it's going to come around. You know, occasionally we've talked to Allen Robinson on this podcast almost every week, and he still has come around. But you got to trust the guys you drafted until you can't anymore. But 1 week is not enough.
You might need to let that Allen Robinson go.
Not
go off your roster, but you might need to do something a little different. Okay, now here we go again. Here is a game. Buffalo Bills, Baltimore Ravens. I'm going to ask directed questions about the Bills because we could then talk about them forever. The wide receiver, number 6, not McKissick, not McKendry. What's his name?
McKenzie.
Isaiah.
What I thought was going to happen was that Isaiah McKenzie and Jameson Crowder would end up splitting that Cole Beasley position on the team. Initially, in game one, it looked like that might be the way it is. You guys have watched a lot of this football. Is McKenzie going forward going to be the threat that it appears he could be out of that slot position?
I think so. And I think it's almost done so much differently now with him that I wouldn't call it the Beasley position.
Mm-hmm.
He plays it so differently.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's going to be much more productive than that. And, you know, Crowder, the first thing that made me think that Crowder was truly behind Isaiah was the situation where Crowder was handling all the punt returns. And Crowder looked great. And if he ever does get on the field, I think he'll do very, very well. But so now you Fetch, are you willing to say there's a three-headed monster at the wide receiver position in Buffalo?
Well, Buffalo's such a prolific offense. It's play as many guys as you can draft or have on your team. The problem, just like we've seen in Kansas City the last few years, you're going to see teams go to these two deep looks and really make them earn it all the way down. And the less man coverage the Bills see, the more Crowder will see the field.
When Crowder gets to the field, we'll have to see about that. Okay. Now, on the other side of the ball, we have the Baltimore Ravens. I'll never ask anyone on this show to talk about Lamar Jackson before I ask Justin McCord to talk about Lamar Jackson. This, we did a little thing in the mailer that Jesse and I sent out this week, pointing out how many teams in the top 10 have Lamar Jackson, how many teams have Mark Andrews. Only one of those teams, FBI, our current leader, stacked them both. Lamar Jackson, Justin, does he keep it up? Can he stay on this sort of pace of fantasy dominance to make it where if you drafted Lamar Jackson, you've got your quarterback leading you to a league winner?
I hope so, because it's a lot of fun to watch.
Mm.
But this is a really tough Buffalo defense that they're going up against. And most of the rushing yards on behalf of the Ravens are done by Lamar. I don't know if Buffalo's going to be – J.K. Dobbins is off the injury report, but doesn't seem like he's full speed yet.
Every week on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour, they want to talk about the Baltimore backfield. And finally, I just started saying the Baltimore backfield is Lamar and a bunch of stands-ins for fantasy football business. Now, Fetch, when it comes to Baltimore Ravens, there was a player that you identified very early – and who I've been thrilled to watch and haven't seen rostered often and haven't seen started often. But Devin Duvernay has been just out of this world, both as a return man and a touchdown provider in this offense. It looks like he and Lamar have got something clicking. What do you think about Duvernay being elevated to your lineup in a game like this against the Buffalo Bills, where you've got to score a lot of points to win this game?
Yeah, this is the type of game. Well, you started a Duvernay because there's going to be so many points. We talk about, can Lamar keep this up? One of the things that helps him more than anything, two things really. One, his pass defense is not good. The Ravens' pass defense is not good. So they keep other teams in the game. And secondly, they have so many explosive players like Bateman, like Devin, like Lamar, like Andrews. They score so quickly, you get extra possessions and the point totals. I talked earlier about so many of the games being under this year. The Ravens games are not unders. Yeah. They're overs. And you want the touchdowns. You want the yards.
They're running more
plays per game. Explosive, yes.
Okay, I can buy that, and that's good. That's very, very good input. So I think we've identified a couple players that may be on the bubble with lineups. McKenzie and Duvernay, which, you know, is try to get them in your lineup. Try to take them out of your lineup. If you have Cardinals and Panthers as Arizona travels to play Carolina. Dortch, I made a big, big mistake, which I was very angry about myself doing this on the High Stakes Fantasy Football Hour. And I did it much like NFL scout would do it, who thinks he's talking about the player that he knew rather than what the player has become today. And I made that mistake with Dortch, and Dortch came into the league as a player who couldn't make the league. I told Balky early on when we talked about it that that was what this player's accomplished. He's made the league. Boy, was I wrong. This is a player in a 5 foot, 7 inch, 195 pound body, 20 pounds heavier than he was when he was in college, who is doing things for this Arizona offense like we all expected Rondell Moore and others to do. Is this a player, Fetch, that you've rostered anywhere? And what can you say about your assessment of Greg Dortch?
I have, through free agency, picked him up twice. I am playing him, but my analysis is one of the things you hate most. But who else is going to catch the ball? A.J. Green is hurt. Obviously, they have Hollywood Brown doing some stuff and Zach Ertz. But other than that, they don't have much else. And they're always behind. The Cardinals have spent week one through three being behind. Even the games they won against the Raiders, they were behind the whole game. So, obviously, they're in pass situations. They're going to get a lot of targets. You got him, especially if you've got a Keenan Allen or on St. Brown on your roster. This is a guy you can plug and play this week.
We would like to let everyone know, and perhaps you can tell it by some of Fetch's diction as we move late into the night here and approach 1 a.m., that Jimmy Johnson and Kevin Williamson, the bar, is in fact open, and Fetch is definitely the one being served. Justin, these two teams feature quarterbacks that I have never drafted. Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield, always too expensive for me. Kyler Murray, I don't like the way he approaches the game. And in a 28-round draft, I've never drafted Baker Mayfield. Your thoughts on either of these quarterbacks, and do you see upside for either one of them this weekend?
Not this weekend. Look, these are two of the worst teams in third down percentage offensively in the NFL. They can't get it done when it's needed most, it seems like. We're not getting to see Kyler get the rushing yards we were hoping for the people who drafted him. Dortch is a bright spot, but you get two more games till Hopkins is back. The coach seems extreme. Well, we're all extremely frustrated with Rondale Moore. The coach seems like he's had about enough of it and is begging for, quote, anything.
No, he's got it now, doesn't he? He's got it now with Dortch.
So I don't know that Rondale Moore is really going to be taking any spots from him, but the offense will hopefully change in a big way once Hopkins is back on the field.
An offense that needs to change in a big way is at Denver, and they get the opportunity to do it. You talk about red zone. They play the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Raiders will roll the red carpet out for their opponents once they get in the red zone. They really don't stop anyone. This might be one of your games that goes over this weekend because the Broncos have not been putting up any points, and I think we might all believe that changes this weekend. Two good running backs and a true number one receiver in Cortland Sutton. How do you see the Broncos, and would you add anyone from that group to your active roster this week?
You want to see it first. I mean, 11 to 10 games just aren't exciting that we saw last week between them and San Francisco. But, yes, the Raiders are a type of team. We talked about Arizona getting a win there. They seem to let teams hang around and do that. And with Judy and Sutton and both these running backs, if they can hold on to the ball, we should see some points for the Broncos.
If this is a game that Judy might rediscover what's been missing, you go ahead and just put him in any situation. Now, for the Raiders, we're missing two very key players this weekend, Hunter Renfrow and Foster Moreau. Changes the look of the team, requires once again that Adams and Mac Hollins take the one and two receiver position, puts Keelan Cole in the slot, and without a backup, well, there is another tight end on the roster, but I don't see him playing that much. I think it relegates Waller to the tight end spot. But what I want to focus on, and I hope you guys picked up Hollins, is a longtime favorite of mine. We had a lot of fun last week with Balky talking about Mac Hollins, and Fortunately, he delivered 30 points this past weekend. I see him a continuing force in the Raiders' offense, even when Renfro returns, and that doesn't have anything to do with the mix of how those players are going to be utilized on the field. But all that being said about the wide receiver positions there, I think we've got a good feel for it. I'm not necessarily excited about the play calling, but the player I want you guys to talk about is Josh Jacobs. Here we have a player that's consistently rushing for 60-plus yards a game on schedule, although an early schedule, to hit the 1,200-yard mark rushing. What has happened in this last game is his pass-catching skills that he showed last year have come to the forefront, five catches down in Tennessee in a game that they were ineffective in the red zone, and it's just very difficult. So I would like, and you guys can talk about any Raider you want to talk about, but I'd like you to focus on Josh Jacobs because it was interesting. By the time we got to Las Vegas, he was no longer a number two running back. He was a number three running back. And while that's not a league winner, I tend to think that if you get that kind of production out of your number three running back, you're going to be okay.
I have Josh Jacobs a couple places, and there are at least one where he's still on my bench this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think Denver is the number three passing defense in the NFL right now, number six rushing defense.
Yeah, it's very good. Of course, now, look who they play.
Exactly. The three quarterbacks that they've gone up against are not near as fearsome as the running backs that they've gone up against, which, while not great, were fine.
Jeff Wilson pushed them around pretty good in his play last week, but although he didn't find the end zone.
So I'm a little cautious on Jacobs. I think if you got him, you're probably starting him. You're hoping for those receptions, of which there, you know, should be plenty. I think five or six would be a nice number this week.
It'd be fantastic. Yeah.
But I don't know about the red zone usage or the opportunities there.
Mm-hmm. This is another team that's getting in the red zone, and when they get it inside the 5-yard line, they're passing the ball, and it's not necessarily working out that well. Fetch, you got anything you want to wake up and say anything about the
just
Raiders?
Basically, that Jacobs has been solid, but the thing that should be going, I drafted Derek Carr a couple times as my QB1. I'm waiting for this week, 1 week, for him to use all these weapons and really show up and be a top 10 quarterback.
Yes, and I really feel that. I really feel that something's got to happen with play calling because I'm not necessarily excited about the way they're attacking the field. Guys, let's take one more break. Let's come back and sweep it up with three more games to review. Guys, we look forward to our return for Super Bowl weekend to the Caesars of Southern Indiana. They made an announcement this week that the Brit, the noted restaurateur in Vegas, famous for the beef Wellington. Justin, help me out. What's his name? He is
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. Thank you, sir. Is the Gordon Ramsay's restaurant, his steakhouse, is coming to the Caesars property. We'll have plenty to eat within the room, our own room, but, you know, a nice dinner is always good for fun and familiarity and good hangs and conversations when you're not drafting. Of course, FPI never leaves the draft room, Fetch. And we want to talk about our leaders in the main event through week three. They also have two teams in the top 20 of the FFPC. Fetch, anybody you want to give a shout out to that is that you're competing with and is showing a significant play early this year?
You know, damn it, Bobby. Jim Cole has had a good year again.
Yeah, he's off to a great start.
Yes.
Yeah. We made mention of it, but there's a young student at Tulane University that plays online with us. I believe he's from Jersey or that he's from somewhere in the East. Goes to school at Tulane. He's got two teams in the top 12. Justin, anybody that you've seen doing well that you are happy to see returning to the, I will tell you this, J.A. Carey and Mike Fox with their DWI team being in the top five gave me something to smile about.
Yeah, I think I'm doing great. I'm always my toughest competitor. And I'm pretty pleased with how the season has started. I think I'm handling some adversity pretty well, and I'm...
You know, Justin, if you're not going to root for yourself, who in the hell is? Hey, let's go. You know, I said it earlier in tonight. I'm getting a little tired of the act of Coach Belichick. I'm ready for him to I think I'm ready for him to move on. I tolerated him because he's a great professional. And, you know, but I think in this day and age, you have an obligation to talk to the media. You don't have to tell them everything, but you do need to tell them something. And if I could talk to Coach Belichick and say, well, you know, you need to live up to your reputation and figure out how you're going to beat the Packers with Hoyer under quarterback. Fetch the backup quarterback there makes me think that you will take all of your New England Patriot receivers down and maybe keep Stevenson and Harris in the game. Am I right or wrong, Fetch?
That's the game plan that you know New England will come out with Brian Hoyer quarterback, not only because the quarterback's hurt, but because of the great pass defense with Jair Alexander in the secondary of the Green Bay Packers.
And this is a New England offense that's really only supporting one receiver. It doesn't seem like you can have a Jacoby Meyer or Devontae Parker both have a good game.
Yeah, there's just not enough passing.
Right. They're not using the tight ends the way they wanted to.
Much less, you know, forget Jonnu Smith ever getting any action, and Hunter Henry gets none either. Yeah, you guys, Justin always used to keep me up to date on this. Fortunately, I have some Romeo Dubs. I wish I had more. I told everyone at the Super Bowl party to draft him. I'd give him little hints. I'd say, you know, it's Valentine's Day this week. It's a romantic, you know, but nobody, you know, very few bit. Jay Reid did, but I digress.
Romeo was a teenager who committed suicide.
Yeah, but it's romantic.
Is it? Anyway, yeah, it is.
It is.
I don't know if you've been reading the news lately.
This is not a literature podcast.
Drug overdoses in Kentucky is just a plague now.
All things are Shakespearean in nature, Patch. You got to understand it. Okay, but all right, so let's move on. Romeo Dubs was released prior to his game was released Tampa Bay week. So he was available to bid on this week in one of my FFPC leagues.
How much?
Well, I bid 356, but I knew it wouldn't get it done. He went for $858 in the draft. And you know what? Hell, he might be worth it.
That was a bargain.
He might be worth it with what he can do. I was happy to see this for this player because, Fetch, we were fans of this player from our views from the Mountain West a couple years ago. But, okay, Packers against Patriots. What do you see happening? And is this a game where Aaron Rodgers cuts it loose a little bit and they push the Patriots around some? Or is it a running back game? Is it both running backs?
It's a little bit of everything. It's whatever Aaron Rodgers wants to do. The only thing that scares you is Green Bay plays at one of the slowest paces.
Yeah, but
Aaron Rodgers just kind of slows the game down once he gets that double-digit lead, which I think they'll have most of the game, and they'll pick them apart, and he'll use Robert Tonyan. He'll use Dubs, and then the running backs will finish them off.
Chiefs at Bucks. Every week the Bucks get a great matchup. Well, you know, they need a break. A great matchup for viewing purposes. Tom Brady get it together this weekend against the Kansas City Chiefs, Justin.
Well, he gets Mike Evans back from suspension.
Yep.
Julio Jones is a game time decision. Yeah. It looks like Godwin's gonna be out. Mm-hmm. So I expect the Chiefs will probably pull this one off.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, maybe I'm putting too much into it, but the people of Florida have been through a lot this week, including the Tampa Buccaneer players who have had to go to Miami to practice, and I'm sure they're concerned about their families as well.
Yeah, fortunately, most of it missed Tampa, but I understand exactly what you're saying. So it with the Bucs fetch against the Packers, I was surprised that they didn't utilize Fournette more in the game. Were you?
They tried to. He couldn't get a foothold going. They tried to run that ball. And usually Green Bay is susceptible to the running game. But the thing we saw as they got behind, we saw Tom Brady really gaining trust in Russell Gage. I mean, late in that game, it's like if Russell Gage wasn't open, he wasn't throwing, he wasn't connecting. And that was his guy. And Russell kept going off the field limping and he'd come back. And it will be so good for Evans to be back for Tom. I mean, he just needs some weapons. If he gets some weapons, these 12 and 15 point games Tom Brady has put up the first couple weeks will go by. He has some of the best weapons in the game. They just haven't been healthy. And it's early. We got, we're into week four. There'll be plenty of time for him to gain his points and do well.
Kansas City Chiefs have a backfield that is difficult to figure out. And the Tampa Bay Bucs are very stingy defense against the rush. Is there anything you want to do with the guys in the backfield, mostly Edwards-Helaire?
I would be sitting Edwards-Helaire tonight in this game.
See, I will not. And here's what I say. Yes, I think me and you have talked about this over the years, how they take away the running back. And they do in the running game. Mm-hmm. But Clyde Edwards-Helaire catches so many out of the backfield, especially in the red zone. Somebody was telling me he's so touchdown dependent. He gets the touchdown because everybody else is worried about what Pat Mahomes is going to do with Kelsey or with Juju or in the passing game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the red zone is the kind of forgotten guy, and that's why he sneaks in the end zone and scores again this week.
That kind of game Mahomes and Kelsey have here. They've had some flat moments for guys that stacked these players. I am one in a couple of leagues. Can I expect a Mahomes-Kelsey game for big numbers this weekend, Fitch?
I think so. The book is sort of out, playing the two deep and all those stuff, but that's just not how Tampa plays. And it plays into the strengths of Mahomes and the strength of Kelsey.
And Kelsey's such a mismatch for defenses.
God bless Cole Beasley. He caught some passes that were thrown at him. Did you guys see him get picked up on waivers anyway?
No.
I saw him picked up in the FFPC. Really? Did you see him fetch?
Yeah.
I was just curious. But you know what?
A dollar he's well spent, desperate.
People are desperate.
He's out there competing and he's out there playing at a time when I had basically written his career off. So good for him. Rams at 49ers. We will finish it up with two teams that are likely to give us less points than we expected. The Rams last week, 20 points. I expected more. The Niners last week, 10 points. I think everybody expected more. The Rams backfield now, as much as I love Henderson, it looks like it belongs to Akers. Cooper Kupp is still asked to do things that will make him what probably should have been one of the first picks of the draft, like he was, and maybe the first. What I want to talk about in the Rams are two players that have won me over this year. That's Tyler Higbee and Ben Skowronek. Higbee, because he's moving well and now catching the ball and seems to have a good relationship to his quarterback. Skowronek, in the way that the team is using him, is very reminiscent of how they were using Kupp to engage physically when Kupp was a rookie. And I thought Kupp would never survive how they were using him back then. Skowronek, a different build and a different body, and he's catching balls. I don't expect Skowronek to play this weekend for me anywhere, but he's the kind of player when you get to bye weeks and the kind of player when you say, well, this Rams offense is finally straightening out, let's score more than 20 points, that I can believe in. Fetch, am I off base with either of these players?
I'm shocked to hear you say things like this when you were telling me He should not even been drafted by the Rams.
He shouldn't have been, as far as I'm
concerned. So I'm surprising to hear your change of heart there. Higbee, you're right on it. I mean, him and Steph, he's his second favorite target now, beside Kupp. And with the tight end position, so hard to find points at. He's definitely a guy I'm going to keep playing and plugging in. I'm playing him instead of Schultz in the league that I have both those guys in.
Higbee over Schultz, that's interesting. Justin, I would have said I would play Schultz, but I think Fetch, I can live with that choice. Jeff Wilson's the guy I want to talk about. We don't like to see anyone get hurt, but it became apparent that Jeff Wilson could be the proverbial bell cow back for a team that now has a passing quarterback instead of a running quarterback, making Jeff Wilson one of the late round draft picks that could lead to you being successful. Rams are no easy assignment for a rushing attack. Justin, Jeff Wilson, thoughts?
I think it's a definite start this week. If you have, I wish he would catch the ball more. We said throw it to him more.
Right.
I don't think he's missed a single target this year. Yeah. I think he's caught everything thrown his way, but he gets two a game or three, you know, maybe three.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's just, I think he's proven himself to be capable in that area of the game. And with Garoppolo back, I think they should be using him more, and maybe they will. Mm-hmm. But now we have to deal with, you know, okay, so Kittle is back, which is great for them.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen Ayuk take a step forward, or the coach trusting him more. And, of course, there's always Debo Samuel's going to get his share. So maybe the passes aren't there for Wilson, but I'd sure love to see them use him more that way.
That's the thing I wanted to bring up. How can you call him a bell cow when he's not even the best running back on the field every time? Because Debo's a better running back than him. And they'll use him sometimes in the red zone when they really need a touchdown because they know he's the better back. The other thing I'd like to bring up about San Francisco is I think you'll see more consistency from this offense the more reps Jimmy Garoppolo gets and the healthier George Kittle gets.
Well, he's got to get familiar with, you know, because he hasn't. There just wasn't enough work. I can understand what happens. You can see how it came apart. Look at your numbers last year. Samuel is less this year in the running back position, more of a pass catcher out of the running back position. And in most games last year, Fetch, he was very, very productive, but he only carried the ball 6 to 8 times. And he's a productive but somewhat of a gizmo running back. They don't lean on him in the same way that the Falcons were leaning on Patterson. And that's even with Debo last year, you had a mixture of running backs that contributed to this offense. And, you know, Elijah Mitchell is on the IR. And when do you get him back? When is Mitchell? Was it after game 8?
It's right around week 8 is the expectation.
That gives a lot of time for Wilson to cement his role with this team. And, you know, it's you paid a lot of money to get Debo Samuel. You didn't pay anything to get Jeff Wilson. We'll just count the carries. And, I think he is the go-to back. He finished up seasons in the last couple of years with some 100-yard rushing games. I think Jeff Wilson gets that moving, just maybe not this week against the Rams. Guys, I got to tell you what we got to get moving is we got to get our plans together for our Super Bowl party and draft, because I went over to the casino this week and paid them a fortune to get the room secured. So I'm looking forward to you guys being back in it and us having a good time there. That is Super Bowl weekend. Is it the 12th and 13th this year, Fetch, or the 11th and 12th? Somebody wake Fetch up.
He's good not question. Good numbers. It's late on a Friday.
It's late on a Friday.
It's already
Saturday morning, Fetch.
It's the 11th and 12th.
11th and 12th. Make your plans to join us, KFFFC Super Bowl weekend. Guys, closing thoughts. Fetch, you got 60 seconds to expound on anything you want to talk about, something you're proud of, something you're not so proud of. They just throw it out there.
I'm proud of all the NFL coaches for letting us know on Friday that players are out. This is an amazing non-Belichickian thing that they've all figured out that it really does matter. We all know who's hurt, not hurt. So why don't you just tell us they're out? Thank you.
Justin, you?
I mean, I hope Tua is doing better.
Yeah, yeah.
That was. I think we're going to see some changes going forward, and it's one of those things where these changes may not be great for fantasy, but you know, we got to realize that we love these players, and we need to be player focused and player supportive.
What's great for player safety is great for football in any aspect in the way that you engage with it. I look forward to the investigation returning the fact that everybody dealt with protocol in the way that it should be dealt with, and then we improve the protocol. And I think that will be a Tua's
legacy. Sure, the investigators are looking forward to going back to Miami and thinking, look, assholes, weren't we just here because you were trying to lose or something? We were looking into that.
I think that'll be a different set of investigations. Meanwhile, I will remind everyone that free agency will run Saturday night at midnight, and I will remind everyone that you must crawl out of bed early on Sunday morning, say your prayers, and turn on your London game.
Mimosas at Farrell's house?
I love these London games. It makes me feel like a West Coaster.
It does. You know? We feel like a little Jeff Joaquin getting up. And, Fetch, you know, if you want to come over here and watch an early morning game on Sunday, I want to tell you one thing. The bar will be open, and you have your choice. And to everyone else, we look forward to seeing you very soon in February. Until then, make your great run at the championship. Be like McCord. Be like Justin. Be like Fetch. Keep winning.